Speak to us now, O Lord, we pray. Speak to our souls today. For this is why we've come, dear Lord. We're ready for your word. Father, we pray now that everything that we do and everything that we say will be pleasing in your sight, that it will bring glory and honor to you. May you be glorified. May your people be edified. May the devil be horrified and terrified by the life change that will take place as the life-giving word of God goes forth. We ask your blessings now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Parent tells their young child, toddler, to come to them, and that child says no. Parent tells that preschool child, get ready to take a bath, that child says no. Parent lays out clothes for the child to put on, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, that child says no. All three of those children have one thing in common. It's not the pop-pop that's coming. But they are exercising what some would call counterwill. Counterwill. I found this as an interesting concept. It's the idea that in the development of a person's psyche, that child is preparing for their own eventual individuation. It's their process to becoming a decision maker on their own. In the preschool years, in the kindergarten years, this unchecked counterwill can result in a child getting in some trouble at home. But we've learned that this idea of a counterwill is not only prevalent in toddlers and preschool children, but it's also present in the lives of adolescent adults and teenagers. It is this attempt to exercise independence. It is this idea that I can now assert who I am. I can test boundaries. I can express frustration. I can communicate my development of myself. I say no. Now, one of the primary reasons that counterwill is exercised is the idea of the need for control. After being told over and over again what to do, where to go, what to wear, when to go to bed, etc., both toddlers and teens come to this place where they want to exercise their control over their own lives. And I began to think for a moment, if toddlers and teens have a counterwill that they want to exercise in order to show that they are in control, even when they're not, how many of us as children of God try to exercise our counterwill with God? In other words, regardless of what God says, we want to say no. Regardless of how many times God shows us, here's the blessings that God has for us, we still want to say no. I love Glenisa's statement. Instead of saying I will, she came in saying I won't. It's a no. And my brothers and sisters, I want you to know that there are too many of us who are missing God's best blessings for our lives because we have not learned how to say yes and trust God with our yeses. Today, for a few moments, I want to talk about how to activate your yes, God. I want to talk about how to activate your yes, God. How can you make this the year of yes, God in your life? I'm a living witness. I can testify that you can be a Christian for many years and still live in the realm of no God. You will not fulfill your potential. You will not maximize what God has for you if you don't learn how to say yes, God. In our text today, we have a man who is used by God simply because this man said yes, even when he wanted to say no. The man in our text that I want to focus on is not the central character of the story, not the one that we typically focus on, because in our text today, Acts chapter 9, we love to focus on the person of Saul, whose surname was later changed to Paul. The apostle Paul was used by God to write over half of the New Testament. Reportedly, he could speak 13 languages, seven of them fluently. But our focus today is not on Paul, but the person that God used to help Saul become Paul. It's the person by the name of Ananias. Four things I want you to see today that I hope and pray will help you learn the blessings of saying yes, God. Let me see if you can practice that. Say yes, God. Man, look at that. It didn't hurt you. It didn't kill you. Nothing. Just felt kind of good to say, yes, God. Here's the first thing. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? If you need an outline, raise your hand and the ushers will get one to you. For those of you who are watching, wherever you are, you can find the outline on our church app or go to our website, goodhope.org. First thing I want you to see, if you're going to activate your yes, God, you need to make sure you hear when God is speaking to you. You got to hear when God is speaking to you. Acts chapter 9, verse 10, the New Living Translation says, "Now there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling Ananias. Yes, Lord, he replied." Now, Acts chapter 9 tells us about the conversion of Saul from a arch enemy of the church to becoming one of the early church fathers. We see the apostle Paul in his conversion after he comes face to face on the road to Damascus with the resurrected Jesus. And the Bible says that encounter with him changes his life, but it leaves him in a state of blindness and in a state where he will become physically weak. Because the Bible says when he opened his eyes after hearing his exchange with Jesus, he could not see. He was physically blind and had to be led by his companions to Damascus. He gets to Damascus and he doesn't eat or drink for 3 days, but he's praying to God. He's asking God for direction. And the Bible says God finds somebody, listen to me carefully, to help Saul in his infancy of being a follower of Jesus. Now remember, Saul has been persecuting people. He has been killing people. He has been arresting people, both men and women. Saul was an equal opportunity persecutor. But when he encounters Jesus, Jesus changes his life. But here's the first thing that he needs, y'all. Listen, he needs somebody to disciple him. He needs somebody to walk alongside him. And God chooses Ananias. So here's this new convert called Saul. And God says, Ananias, and Ananias replies, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Lord, I hear you." Now, here's what's interesting. When God spoke to Ananias, he heard God because he was sensitive, aware of, and familiar with the voice of God. He recognized it was God who was speaking to him. Now, we don't know what his position was in the church. We're not told that Ananias was an apostle. We're not told he was a deacon. We're not told he was in ministry. All we know is he was an available servant. And he heard what God had to say. The late Dr. Manuel Scott said one of the problems in the church, he said this some years ago, is that there is a gallop for the pulpit. People believe that if they've been called to be used by God, that automatically means they've got to get up in the pulpit and preach. And I need somebody to hear me today. Don't allow what you perceive as your fear of public speaking to keep you from being used by God in private situations. God wants to use you in a personal way. Man, I'm so excited when people say to me, they say, well, how many ministers do you have at the church? And I say, oh, I don't know, about 300-400. And they say, you got that many preachers? I said, no, you said ministers. I said, I've got men and women ministering all over the world, all over the country, because we don't define ministry by somebody who simply stands and talks for 25 or 30 minutes. Ananias, the Bible says, heard God. And that's the challenge facing us as believers today. We must help people who need Jesus to know Jesus. We've got to help people who know Jesus to grow in Jesus so they can help somebody else to know and grow in Jesus. But you cannot help somebody else until you hear God and say, yes, God. It's just that simple. Sometimes we project our limitations on God's call. God calls and we say, well, no, it must not be God, because, you know, God don't know who, he obviously don't know who I am or what I can or what I can't do. And God says, you unleash your potential when you learn how to say yes to the call of God. So my question today is, are you prepared to hear God and say, yes, God? See, you thought Saul was the only one that said yes. But the Bible says Ananias had to say yes in order for Paul to say yes. Genesis 22 verse 1 says, sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied, here I am. Isaiah 6, 8, very familiar passage. Then I heard the Lord asking, whom should I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us? I said, Isaiah speaking, here I am, send me. Here's the second thing if you're going to activate your yes, God. Not only do you need to hear when God is speaking to you, but number two, you need to make sure you go where God wants you to go. You've got to go where God wants you to go. I'm getting ready to help somebody today, because the key to your yes, God, is being held up because you haven't said yes to going where you know the Lord wants you to go. Watch what the text says. The Lord said, verse 11, Acts chapter 9, go over to Straight Street to the house of Judas. When you get there, ask for a man named Tarsus. Ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying for me, or to me right now. I have shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him so he can see again. So here is Ananias being given what is arguably a challenging assignment. And he has to decide, is he going to obey God and go or stay where he is? And God says to Ananias, Ananias, your going is so critical that your going is going to be an answer to prayer. Not only an answer to my command, but there's somebody's praying right now who needs help, and you have the potential to be an answer to their prayer. Now, y'all, I don't know about you, but that's kind of mind-blowing to me. To think that somebody's praying and I could be the answer to their prayer. That they are asking God for help and I can be the answer to that prayer. I've walked through places and walked along the streets and met people, and God would lead me to do something, and I don't even know where it's coming from in terms of, I know it's the Lord telling me. I've walked with God long enough, I can tell when he's talking, but I'm like, okay, God, I don't know why. And there have been times when I discovered on the other side of my obedience that what God led me to do was an answer to the prayer that the person was making to God before I came in contact with them. Y'all, God wants you to say yes, and God wants you to understand that part of yes is going when the Lord says go. Paul is praying, asking God for direction. Remember now, he's blind. He's in this condition since he came in contact with Jesus. He hasn't ate. He hasn't drank. So the suggestion is that he is fasting. He is praying. And God says, I need you to go, Ananias, and be the answer to Saul's prayer. Are you willing to be the answer to a person's prayer? Are you willing to be the answer to God's command? See, people are praying, saints and sinners, believers and unbelievers, and they need to hear from God. But here's what you need to understand, that for many people, they won't hear from God until they hear from you. Your hands can become God's hands. Your mouth becomes God's mouth. Your words become God's words. Look at Luke chapter 10, verse 2. These were his instructions to them. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. Let me help somebody in here right now. You know who the workers are? You. You are the workers. God says, no, I don't need you living vicariously through the pastor. I don't need you living vicariously through the deacons or the trustees or the other preachers. I don't need you living vicariously through somebody else who has said yes to me. I need you to say yes for yourself. Here's the third thing. If you're going to activate your yes, God, I told you, number one, you need to make sure you hear when God is speaking to you. Number two, you need to make sure you go where God wants you to go. Here's the third thing. You need to make sure you do what God tells you to do. Verse 13, Acts chapter 9. But Lord, exclaimed Ananias, I've heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem. And he is authorized by the leading priests to arrest everyone who calls upon your name. But the Lord said, so here's what I want you to do. Underline in verse 13, but Lord. And then in verse 15, but the Lord said. Ananias had a but. Lord, in case you didn't know, this is a bad dude. Sounds like a trap to me. Sounds like he's pretending to be converted, but we know he's laid traps before. He's beat up too many Christians. He's arrested too many Christians. He's killed too many Christians. And he's got a letter authorizing him to do it from the officials. But the Lord said, verse 15, go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings, as well as to the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. Listen to me carefully. Reaching out to a new convert, a new believer, somebody who needs the Lord, or somebody who knows him, who needs to grow in him, might present to you a challenge. You might look at it in your flesh and say, man, this is going to be difficult. This is going to be challenging. I don't know if this person is going to receive it. Now, I want you to follow me. It's not that the Lord hasn't told you to go, but now you have some objections based on what you perceive to be the ease of accomplishing what God is calling you to do. Here's what I need somebody to know. If it wouldn't be a challenge, it wouldn't be big enough for God to get the glory. Somebody who's listening right now, somebody who's under the sound of my voice right now, watch this. The Holy Ghost is bringing to your mind, bringing to your remembrance, somebody that the Lord has told you to reach out to, but you said, but Lord. You know how hardcore they are? They can't stand the church. They can't stand preachers. And I can hear the Lord saying, they're no worse than Saul was. Because even if they talk about the church, Paul was killing the church. You mean all they got is words? And they bluffing you into disobedience and into silence? God says, no, I need you to do what I've called you to do, because it's when you are obedient that you release the supernatural wonder-working power of God in your situation. Ananias had to obey what God told him, because you can't get to yes, God, apart from obedience to God. See, Ananias knew who Saul had been against the church, but he had no idea who Paul would be for the church. No, let me say it again. Ananias had no idea. He knew who Saul had been against the church, but he had no idea who Paul would be for the church. And he didn't understand that he was the key to help Saul become Paul. Somebody ought to hear me today, because every new convert has a past, but I got news for you. They've got a future. They've got a future. And you don't know how God will use you to change their life and change the lives of other people they come in contact with. You got to say, yes, God. And you've got to choose to obey God. Even when you don't understand what God is saying, you've got to say, yes, God. Even when what God is saying is contrary to what you think, you've got to say, yes, God. Even when what God is saying doesn't make sense to you. Everyone under the sound of my voice, you need to know you are a chosen instrument to be used by God. Listen carefully, to help other chosen instruments be released to be used by God. So don't let your but Lord become your no Lord. You must do what God tells you to do if you're going to activate your yes God. Romans chapter 15, look at verse 1. We who are strong must be considerate of those who are sensitive about things like this. We must not just please ourselves, we should help others do what is right and build them up in the Lord. Here's the final thing if you're going to activate your yes, God. Number 4, you need to realize your yes, God can help others say yes to God. Your yes, God will help others say yes to God. So Ananias, verse 17, Acts chapter 9, went and found Saul. He laid his hands on him and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized. Afterward, verse 19, he ate some food and regained his strength. Let me give you some yes, God milestones that Ananias lives out for us. First, understand Ananias took the initiative and found Saul. Matter of fact, if you think about it, not only did Ananias take the initiative, but Jesus took the initiative to have the encounter with Saul. Listen, y'all, too many times we wait for sinners to come to us instead of realizing that we've been called and commissioned to go to them. If you know somebody who needs Jesus, why are you waiting on them to come to you? That's not even part of their job description. That's one of the problems that we're having in churches around the country, because we have shifted the success model and standard of the church from its sending capacity to its seating capacity. And then we have the unmitigated gall to get mad when unsaved folk don't come to church like this is where they would think to come. Ananias took the initiative and found Saul. God says, stop requiring spiritually blind people to find their way to you. Because if they're spiritually blind, they can't see. And you got to make your way to them. And Ananias not only took the initiative and found Saul, Ananias laid his hands on Saul. The Bible says he put his hands on Saul because Saul needed to feel the touch of love that came from the hands of a brother beloved. Matter of fact, here's what's interesting. Ananias called Saul brother, which means what? He was welcoming him into the family of God. Somebody said, why is that important? Because whenever somebody gives their life to the Lord, they need to be part of and brought into the family of God. Why? Because once they accept Christ, they're going to get ostracized from their old family. If I don't go where I used to go and I don't do what I used to do and I don't say what I used to say, is anybody going to welcome me into this new family of God that I have been told I am a part of? Ananias calls him brother and lets him know he's welcome into the family of God. Saul gets baptized, eats some food, takes in some nourishment, and then watch what he does. He gets started. Saul now, on the other side of his conversion, says, oh, no, I got to do some stuff. He takes care of himself physically. He joins and identifies with the other disciples. And then the Bible says, look at verse 20. And immediately he began preaching about Jesus in the synagogue, saying, he is indeed the Son of God. Folk were looking, saying, wait a minute, hold on, isn't this the same man? They used to persecute the church. Isn't this the same man that we were afraid of? But because Ananias said, yes, God, Paul now could say, yes, God. And the Bible says Ananias and Paul worked together hand in hand. And then watch what the text says. Look at verse 22, and then I'm going to let you go. Paul grew in wisdom and spiritual power. His preaching became more and more powerful, and the Jews in Damascus couldn't refute his proofs that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. God took what fueled his rage and now used it to fuel his evangelism. Because Ananias said, yes, God. Paul could say, yes, God. Somebody in here needs to say yes. Stop killing your own dreams and stop killing God's dreams for your life. Say yes. Tell the Lord yes. Tell the Lord yes to your will and yes to your way. Tell the Lord, I'll trust you and obey. Tell the Lord with my whole heart, I'll agree. Tell the Lord, I'll say yes, Lord, to whatever you want me to do. I love the testimony of Glenice. I promise you, we didn't plan it this way, but I think the Holy Ghost planned it this way. If you want to experience the height of frustration and exhaustion in life, try to live for God by saying no to God. But when you learn how to say yes and get out of your own way and get out of God's way, you will be amazed at what the Lord will do. So one of the churches that I've had the privilege to work with over the last year or two, I saw the pastor this past week, and I'm asking him, how's it going? They're getting ready to launch their pilot groups, and the pastor's excited. He's been preaching about discipleship and preaching the seven rhythms, and man, just the churches. And then he says something to me. He said, man, he said, DZ, he said, man, my preaching has become so much easier. And I said, really? He said, man, I'm realizing, man, I'm not trying to impress people anymore. I'm just preaching to change their lives. He said, man, I don't even feel that pressure anymore. I'm just literally trying to yield myself and allow God to speak through me to help people fulfill their potential in him. And I said, man, welcome to the club. Come on in, the water's fine. Right? But the key is for you to say yes. From the bottom of your heart and the depths of your soul, to say yes, God. Not a partial yes, not an incomplete yes, but a complete yes. God, have your way in my life. Get me out of the way that's keeping me out of your will. Say yes, God. And I want to encourage somebody to make 2025 the year of your yes, God. That every day you remind yourself to say yes, God. Father, we thank you and we bless you. I pray now that those under the sound of my voice would say yes, that they would give a complete yes, because a partial yes is a partial no. Help them to make the commitment today to say yes. And God, I pray like Ananias, that you would use us to help somebody else say yes, to help somebody else who needs you to know you. And like Ananias did with Saul, who would become Paul, to help somebody who knows you to grow in you so that they can be used by you in a powerful way. We give you glory and honor. And we ask your blessings now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.